Welcome to Bainton Baptist Church, to our service for scattered saints on January the 24th, 2021. Welcome to a time of worship, entering into God's presence together, wherever we may be. We come just as we are to our loving God, who knows us and cares for us. Some verses from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who forgives us, cleanses us, and opens the new way for us to come into your beautiful holy presence without fear. Thank you that we can come close to you now as your beloved children. Amen. Our first hymn is entitled Through All the Changing Scenes of Life.
Through all the changes.
worship the faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Our message today is about encouragement. Do you need encouragement? I do. COVID-19 started in 2019, hence the name. And now here we are in 2021. Many have suffered sickness, death, separation or loss of loved ones. Many have suffered from the anxieties and fears that it has created. Difficult but necessary restrictions on our activities and contact with others have caused sadness, loneliness, and isolation. Today, this week, this month, this whole year, we all need encouragement. But what is encouragement? My little Collins Gem Thesaurus gives a number of other words for the verb encourage, including cheer, comfort, console, and hearten. We could all do with some of that. We hear about encouragement in our latest part of the Acts story, which Leslie is going to read for us today.
The first part of our reading comes from Acts chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. When the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He travelled through that area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people, and finally arrived in Greece, where he stayed 3 months. Because some Jews had plotted against him just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Pyrrhus, from Berea, Aristarchus and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days.
Paul was a great apostle, which means sent one. He was a theologian, a thinker, a teacher, evangelist, pastor, and ultimately a martyr. But he was also a great encourager. He set out on his third missionary journey specifically to strengthen the disciples in the regions of Galatia and Phrygia. After the events in Ephesus that we heard about last week from David, it's now time for Paul to leave. But before he goes, he sent for the disciples in Ephesus, and as we heard, it says, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set off for Macedonia. Once he got there, he travelled through the area, speaking many words of encouragement. I can imagine that Paul cheered, comforted, consoled, and heartened wherever he went. It took some time to do all this encouraging. It wasn't just a quick hello and a hug. Luke says, and finally arrived in Greece. I wonder what exactly Paul said to them. We do know that Paul gathers people to come alongside him as he travels. 3 men from Macedonia, 2 from Galatia, 2 from Asia. Dr. Luke is the researcher who takes care to record who these people are and where they're from. Each one is important. Paul is making the most of his opportunity to invest in these men, to train them and encourage them. The Lord Jesus knows your name. He knows where you're from. He has chosen you to walk alongside him, to learn from him, to imitate him, to become like him by his Holy Spirit. He encourages you, giving you cheer and comfort, consoling and heartening you. We can see that Dr. Luke also takes care to record the details of their journey, the precise route they took, and how many days for each stage. This detailed historical information encourages us to believe that his account is accurate and to believe what happens next.
The second part of our reading is from Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 7 through to verse 12. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, He fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted.
It's Sunday evening. Sunday is the first day of the week, a working day. And so Paul is meeting with the people of the church in Troas in the evening. Paul has a lot to say. He wants to encourage and strengthen the church. He doesn't know when or if he will come this way again. In fact, we now know he never returned to Troas. So Paul talks until midnight, with the room full of many lamps burning away, getting warmer and warmer. A young man sitting in the open window, no glass there, struggles to stay awake and falls into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Luke knows what Paul is like. He's heard it many times before. You can see what's going to happen, and it does so, with devastating results. Eutychus falls out of the third floor window to his death. Luke, being a doctor, knows a dead body when he sees one. Paul is on it. He immediately throws himself on the young man and puts his arms around him. Eutychus is raised back to life. This is encouragement on a completely different scale. The people took Eutychus home with them, and as the King James Version of the Bible says, they were not a little comforted. What an understatement. But Paul is not going to let anything stop him encouraging the church. Not even a death, not even a resurrection. After breaking bread and eating with them, he then carried on talking all night, not finishing until daylight. I wonder what it was that took him so long to say to them. He obviously had a lot that he wanted to pass on to them. Despite what some may say, Paul is not a remote, austere, or uncaring man. He's a passionate man who loves people. He threw himself on the young man. Good Jews, of which he once regarded himself the best of all, wouldn't even touch a dead body. It was unclean. It was against the law. But Paul got stuck in. He literally threw himself into it. Paul's type of encouragement is real, practical, tactile, and powerful. Eutychus came back to life. Do you need this type of encouragement? Do you need to see God turn up to change things? Or is God calling you to show this kind of encouragement to someone else? Who needs you to act today? There is a broader meaning of encouragement than we've looked at so far. My little Collins Gem Thesaurus has some other words: animate, embolden, incite, rouse, stimulate, abet, advance, aid, foster, help, promote, strengthen, support, urge. These words help us to understand that to encourage is more than just giving a hug, even the powerful type that Paul gave Eutychus. It's more than just a few words of comfort. To encourage is to fill someone with courage, to be the person that God wants them to be filled with courage to do something that God wants you to do. This type of encouragement is creative, transformative, It changes the recipient. Nothing is ever the same again. No one is ever the same again. There are two Greek words used in this passage, which are translated in the NIV as encourage. The first in verse 1, as spasmo, means to enfold, to welcome, to greet, or to take leave. Paul took leave of the disciples with great love. I'm sure a big hug featured in his farewell. We can identify with this type of encouragement. How much I want to hug my family, my sisters and brothers in Christ, friends, and in fact anyone at the moment. The second word for encouragement, parakaleo, is to call near, invite, beseech, exhort, entreat, or pray. You may have heard the related word, parakletos, which Jesus uses for the counselor who is to come alongside his followers, the Holy Spirit. Paul comes alongside these disciples and every church he visits to cheer and to comfort, to console and to hearten. But he also comes to rouse them, stimulate them, embolden them for action. He exhorts them to follow Jesus, to do his work, to spread the word. He fills them with courage. He urges them to keep going and gives them strength and support to do so. He invites, beseeches, entreats, and prays for them. How is the Holy Spirit coming alongside you and encouraging you at this moment? Who is he emboldening you to become? What is he inviting and strengthening you to do? How is he pouring courage into you at the moment? We all have a part to play in this ministry of encouragement. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." May we start in 2021 as we mean to go on, receiving God's encouragement to be all who he wants us to be, to do all that he wants us to do. Let us gather together in any way we can and encourage one another. May we be prepared to reach out and encourage those who do not know God's love, to those who don't know that he wants to help them with all the things they're struggling with. Peter says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Let's prepare to give that answer. Let's pray. Our loving Father, thank you for choosing us to be your fellow workers, to become like Jesus, and to follow him in the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the comfort and strength that we've received from you and from one another. Lord, help us to encourage others and to be bold in reaching out to others who do not know your love. Amen. May I invite you to pray for those that the Lord lays on your heart today. For those who are struggling and need strength. For those who are sad and need comfort. Those who need encouragement to start again. Let's take a time to pray for those that the God has revealed to us. Thank you, Lord, that you hear all our prayers and that you love those that we have been praying for continually. Amen. Our closing song is a challenge for us to respond to. Send us out in the power of your Holy Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.